the news cycle, it can be dull and dreary and downright depressing. So every Sunday we like to take a look at some of the good news from the week that was. One of our wonderful producers, Mitch, is sitting in the studio right now with three good news stories to brighten our day. Mitch, good morning.
Good morning, Jess.
Now, you have told me there is a puppy story in
there. There is a puppy story. I'm going to save it for last, though, if
that's okay. Really good idea. Otherwise, I won't pay attention to the rest.
That's exactly right. So, I thought we might get a bit distracted with this one.
Yeah. So. All right, cool. So, let's start with our first good news story.
All right. Number one, okay. I'm sure you've seen them around the Inner West in particular. The little free libraries.
Yeah, they're great.
They're cool, right? Like, little tiny little houses that house books.
Yeah.
And you can just pick them up. You can swap.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
Book swaps are great.
Yeah, I do like book swaps. Mm. So inspired by that, a Minneapolis resident, Jamie Hendricks, has set up a free pantry
to help feed
hungry neighbors in her North End area.
Oh, what a sweet person. Like a little food bank.
So dry goods. I think she puts milk out there sometimes Canned goods, all that kind of stuff. Non-perishables usually.
Yeah.
But apparently it was going really quickly. So she actually had a tiny little one.
Mm.
And she built a whole new one that's 7 foot high now. So she can put bigger stuff in there, like detergent and so on. And it's awesome.
I love that.
It's this timber 7 foot high storage cabinet, and it's got flowers painted on it. It's just delightful.
Oh, Jamie.
I know.
See, in the States, I know a lot of people in the States, they can do like couponing.
Mm, yeah.
And so you can get a lot of stuff for free.
For sure.
And people do things like this with that, which is beautiful.
It's awesome.
I don't know if she uses couponing. Like, I guess people could drop stuff off as well.
Yeah, so that's the whole sort of premise, I guess.
Oh.
So that community feel.
Jamie.
Yeah. It's like a garden without the garden.
What a beautiful person.
I know, right?
A garden without the garden.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Makes sense,
the
right?
Gardening. All right, what's our next story?
Next one, we've got a lonely frog who has been in isolation for 10 years.
Oh.
His name's Romeo.
What did he do?
Well, he was just the last one. He wasn't getting punished.
Oh, no. I thought he was in, like, frog jail or something.
Yeah, he did something terrible.
Yeah, he's been in solitary confinement for 10 years. He's clearly murdered another frog.
Yeah, no, you don't do that in the frog world.
No.
Anyway, he's been in isolation for 10 years in an aquarium in Bolivia. They thought he was the last one. But they actually found him a little Juliet. They went on an expedition in the remote Bolivian cloud forest, which sounds enchanting.
Yeah.
And they managed to pick up five of these particular frogs.
So he's nowhere near the last one.
He is not, which is a good thing. And they found them in a stream. They were captured with the goal of breeding and reintroducing the amphibians back into the wild.
That is so nice.
I know.
I have one problem with this story.
Do you tell me.
Apart from the fact that I thought he was in frog jail. I don't know why my mind was there instantly. But like when you have these animals and they like always have these like cute little couples, right? And
yes, ma'am.
Always will call them like Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Do they know how that play ends?
This is my issue as well.
Because not well is the answer.
I know. No one's actually read the play.
No, it's just like, oh, star-crossed lovers. They die.
I think there's a Simpsons quote about that. It's just, it started out like Romeo and Juliet, but it ended in tragedy.
Because, like, if they want to breed them and reintroduce them, like, maybe call them something different.
I know. You can't even really go Adam and Eve, can you? Because that ended bad, too.
Go with, so like, it's Victoria and Albert. Those, like, Queen Victoria had, like, 12 children. She had, like, a lot of kids.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Breeding is, I don't think they were, I don't know if they were good people or not, or, like, how, but I don't know much about it.
That's not we're going for the breeding, right?
But the breeding, they had a lot of kids.
Yes.
Or, like, call them, like, Jim, Bob, and Michelle, like, the Duggars. They've got 19 children.
True.
Romeo and Juliet were children who killed themselves.
They were children, weren't they? They were 14.
So kids. Maybe not the names to go for. But I'm really glad that they're going to start breeding these frogs.
I know, me too.
Mind you, if they don't like address the issues why they became extinct in the first place.
That's a good point. Also, why he was in isolation for 10 years.
Yeah,
give
him other frog friends. Why can't he have other frog friends? Just because he's the last of his frog doesn't mean like that he can't have other friends.
What also surprised me was that frogs live that long. That's
yeah.
A 10 year
sentence. That's like an old frog.
That's an old frog.
And that's how long he's been in isolation. isolation. So, right. Like, how old is he?
Exactly.
That's a really old frog.
That's an old frog.
That is a really old frog. Can he even have kids anymore? Oh, don't. This is going to give him a complex. Yeah, okay, poor Romeo. Glad he's found love. Sure. Hope he likes them. Like, I hope he likes these new frogs.
Yeah.
What if he thought he was the only frog in the world, and now he's like, nah. And maybe he kills them. He was in solitary confinement. He's a hardened criminal.
He is a hardened criminal, and he's probably gone a little bit insane, right?
I mean, I feel like I might have gone a little insane in solitary confinement this morning.
Bouncing off the walls.
Yeah. Okay. We've got, now we're to the dog story.
You want to get to the dog story?
I really want to get to
the dog story. Let's get to the dog story.
All right. Tell me.
You may have heard of this, actually. It was sort of on social media a little bit. There was a dog named Ludovain.
Great name.
2.5-year-old bloodhound.
Beautiful.
He was let out to pee one morning.
As they do.
And he ended up running the entirety of a marathon.
What a clever puppy. I know. Heard about this.
So this is hysterical. the owner let him out, as she does most mornings.
Yeah.
Just into the backyard, have a little pee. He went under the fence.
Yep.
And there happened to be a marathon running at the time.
Yep.
And he was just so excited about seeing so many people jogging.
Friends.
Joined in.
Oh, my God. That poor owner who then had to chase him for an entire marathon.
Apparently, she was really chill about it. She was like, I'm actually very surprised that Ludovain did this because apparently he's a very lazy dog.
Oh. Do you know what? New year, new me. Going to start running marathons. That's what he's doing.
That's exactly what's going on.
How did he go in the marathon?
Really well. Actually really well. So, ran the entire marathon.
God bless him.
Only deviated from the track a few times, including a time to play with a herd of cows. another time to sniff a dead rabbit.
Oh.
So, of course, these are all things that do distract most marathon runners.
I don't know of many marathon runners who aren't distracted by cows.
Exactly.
To play with on the side of the road.
100%. Mm. But actually ended up coming in 7th overall.
Oh, Ludovain!
Yeah, with a time of 1 hour, 32 seconds. 1 hour, 32 minutes, 56 seconds.
Gosh.
Pretty good. Pretty good. They gave him a little medal.
A good time.
That's pretty good.
And what, do you think his owner was just like, and just waited at the finish line for an hour?
From what I read, she was just like,
he'll get there.
Yeah, it's fine. I won't worry about it later.
This is not right now's problem. This is future owner's problem. I don't think my dog could run a marathon.
Tell me more.
Despite,
why not?
Well, she's about 40 centimeters tall, not even. She's maybe like 20 centimeters tall. Her legs are tiny and she's fat as all hell. She looks like an olive with four sticks for legs.
Jesus.
Yeah, but I love her. But a bloodhound they're like very active dogs. Like apparently, they can do like distance runs.
Yeah, but apparently this one's generally super pretty lazy.
But like you think that about greyhounds too. Greyhounds, unless they're on a track, are catch potatoes.
They're very cat-like.
Yeah.
I love good snuggle.
Oh, they do.
I like a greyhound.
Yeah, everyone likes a greyhound. I met a greyhound named Snoot a little while ago.
That is a good name.
It's a good greyhound
name,
right?
Correct.
Snooty. Yeah. Yeah. I think Ludovain's a great name for a dog, by the way.
I don't even, is that biblical? I don't even know what that
means. It feels a bit biblical. It feels great.
Another Shakespearean name, maybe.
Oh, let's hope that one didn't end in. Maybe Ludovain was a really good runner in like a Shakespearean play. Yeah. And he was like, I will live to my potential. And that's what we have to tell the frog, do not live to your potential. Do the opposite of what your name suggests. Oh, they're three lovely stories.
Good ones.
Mitch, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
I feel happier now. I also want to teach my dog to run a marathon. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going to try.